The following is a synopsis of Shabbos Parshas Pinchas, Mevarchem HaChedush Menachem Av, Chav Dalet Tammuz, Hei Tinase, corresponding to the year of 1991. Parshas Pinchas discusses the division of the land of Israel to the entire people of Israel, each section to each individual tribe. And there must be, as in all matters of Torah, an instruction relevant to every Jew. And since we are standing on the threshold of redemption, the true and complete redemption, the simple and obvious lesson is that we should inherit the land of Israel with this complete redemption. But since we're still situated before the Geula, before the redemption, and Torah is eternal, then it follows that there must be a lesson that is relevant to us even in these moments that are before the redemption. The story is told that a Jew came to the Tzemach Tzedek, and he asked for a blessing for his journey to the land of Israel, the Holy Land. And the Tzemach Tzedek told him, "Why do you have to go to Israel? Make Israel here. Mach da Eretz Yisrael." This story was told by the previous Rebbe, and it's also the lesson from this parsha that we should make in the place and in the time of exile Eretz Yisrael. The only thing we still have to understand is how do we make Israel from this place, because we are, halachically speaking, outside of Israel. And we're always anticipating and yearning to get out of this exile, and especially now that we're standing on the very threshold of Geula, and imminently, immediately, we will go out into Eretz Yisrael. So then, how does that reconcile with what we have to do in these last moments of exile? Another question the Rebbe asks. When they divided the land of Israel, they used a lottery system, determine which tribe will get which portion. And Rashi relates that something miraculous occurred, that the Geul, the lottery itself, spoke and announced, "I, the Geul, I, this lot, have come out to belong to this particular section, to this particular tribe." In other words, the Geul itself declared which tribe gets which section. And of course, the obvious question here is, why did God need this miracle? God doesn't do miracles needlessly. Jewish people knew that the Geul was a true means of determining which land goes to which tribe, because it was ordained by God. Elazar, the Kohen, he was the one who actually executed the whole lottery, and he said with divine inspiration, even before they picked up the notes, the lots, he already said which tribe will get which portion, because he had this prophetic inspiration. So why did they have to have the Geul, the lots themselves, speaking and telling you who won, who got which tribe, which section is a portion to which tribe? And the Rebbe explains, God wanted the land should be divided by lottery. If the certainty that the lottery was a valid and legitimate and true means of determining the division of the land, that would be based solely on the divine inspiration of Elazar, the high priest, then that means that the division of the land would be lacking, because the Geul itself would not have confirmed its own validity. That's why the Geul had to notify that it was authentic, that it was genuine, that it was valid and legitimate by declaring itself, albeit miraculously, who would get which section. But this still leaves some things that we have to clarify. The Geul is really a secondary matter in the division of the land. The speech of the Geul was also a secondary matter, just to prove that it was legitimate, or to publicize what part belonged to which tribe. Why was that so important? If the Geul was an independent mitzvah, we would understand why it has to be perfect. Everything that you do to serve Hashem should be perfect. But there's no intrinsic value in the Geul. Its whole purpose was to divide the land. That was the primary thing, the division of the land. So why was it so important to make sure that the validity of the geirel and its publicizing of its power should go through the geirel itself. It shouldn't have to be confirmed by an outside source. What would be so terrible if Elazar, the high priest, would have said that this geirel is consistent with the divine inspiration that I have? So the Rebbe says that's not a valid point. Why? Because in matters of holiness, there's no such thing as secondary and tertiary things. Everything, even the most secondary matter, has been directed by God and occupies a very important place unto itself. Just like the journeys of the Jews in the desert, what was the purpose of a journey? So you get from point A to point B, ultimately to get to the land of Israel. But nevertheless, every journey was so important that Moshe had to write down, he noted very carefully, precisely, all the different journeys, even though it's only a prelude to getting into the land. The same thing we find when the Kohen would walk over to the altar to perform the sacrificial ritual. So it was only really an accessory to get over to the altar, to sprinkle the blood on the altar. Nevertheless, the walking, the accessory, is considered to be an independent, intrinsically endowed service in the temple. The same thing is true. The geirel, even though it was secondary, it was an accessory for the division of the land, it assumed its own independent character, and that's why it was so important that it should manifest itself in its full glory, that every aspect of it should be established by itself, not by some secondary outside source. What happened, essentially, when they conquered the land? The moment that the Jews conquered the land of Israel, they didn't have a place to live and to settle. They had to take this land that was the land of Canaan, a land that belonged to seven nations, and they had to transform it into a holy land and a Jewish land. That was the whole purpose of the conquest. And how does that become fulfilled? By doing mitzvahs that are relevant to the land of Israel, building the Beis HaMikdash, the holy temple in Israel. And that was the objective of Jews throughout all generations, to turn the whole world into a dwelling place for God. So in order to conquer a land, there are certain conditions that are necessary. Number one, one has to make sure that you have a complete victory. Otherwise, it's not a complete conquest. There's always a danger that the people who live in parts of the land will revolt and you will not have mastery over the land. Secondly, the military people have to devote themselves to fighting this war with all their strength, all their resources, not just their hands, but their thoughts and their speech. Everything has to be devoted to this victory. That is also true in a spiritual vein. You have to have these two conditions met. First of all, you have to make sure that every detail in that which is going to become conquered, to become holy, should be part of this conquest, should belong to God. And number two, we have to devote ourselves to this function and to see to it that God in his whole glory and essence should dwell in this dwelling and in the house that we have created for his dwelling in this world. So it follows then that when we do a mitzvah, we can't just do a mitzvah verbally or in our thoughts or in our actions. Because we know mitzvahs are divided into three categories. We have prayer, which is primarily thought, the meditation of prayer. Torah is primarily through speech, and mitzvahs through action. You can't do one or the other. You have to devote all of these three into each mitzvah. You have to be totally involved. Even though there are certain mitzvahs that are satisfactorily observed by just doing them, that's true. That's the basic requirement. But if you want to make this mitzvah complete and perfect and fulfill your mission that God gave you, you have to fulfill every mitzvah with action, but also with thought and speech. And that enhances the mitzvah, that the mitzvah is a completely different kind of mitzvah, because you can tell by the mitzvah that the person's totality is involved in the mitzvah. Now we can understand why the goyim had to speak. Just like conquering the land itself, it had to be done with complete devotion to the conquest, as was mentioned before. The same thing is true. Every detail, and even things that are only preliminary matters, such as the geirel, even things that are just preparation and accessories for the conquest, they have to be done in the most perfect way. And that's how you could fulfill your mission in the most perfect and complete way. Once, during a Farbrengen with the Rebbe Rashab, the Rebbe relates, they were singing a Hasidic melody in preparation for the discourse, the Hasidic discourse that the Rebbe Rashab was going to recite. Now, the Bachrim, the students that were at Farbrengen, were singing this Nigun, this melody, relatively fast, because they wanted to hear the Maimer Hasidus that would follow. The Rebbe Rashab sensed that, and he devoted an entire talk to the subject that a person, wherever the person is, even if you're only in a preparatory stage, you're preparing yourself for something else that is the goal, but while you're preparing, you have to be totally there. That's the general and essential principle, that wherever you are, you should be there with reality. You should truly be there. And that's the only way you can get to the next stage in the most perfect way. The same thing is true with the conquest of Israel. Even though the Goyal, the lottery, was only a preparation for the conquest, in spite of that, it had its own significance, and it had to be done in a way that was most perfect. And that's why when they divided the land through the Goyal, through the lottery, you had all three elements that you need to fulfill a mitzvah with perfection. You had thought, speech, and action. First of all, you had the action. You had to take the lots, and you had to write down the names of the tribes and the names of the portions of Israel. You had to put your thought processes in it, and you also had speech. The Goyal itself spoke. So this, which confirmed to everyone that this was a very legitimate and honest and true and genuine process. So here we have the Goyal involving all three elements of thought, speech, and action. And the reason why everything has to be done in a pnimius way, in other words, you have to be totally immersed in what you're doing in a most perfect way, even if it seems to be only a tangential thing, that's because of two reasons. Number one, it demonstrates that you are a genuine person, you're totally involved in what you're doing it with sincerity, with authenticity. And number two, only when you execute the preparation in the most complete and perfect way and genuine way, that enables you, that facilitates reaching the goal in a most complete way as well. Now, since the Torah established that in order to execute a certain action, you need some type of preparation, so it's certain then that simply by a complete execution of the preparation, that will enable you to fulfill and execute the act itself that will follow. Without the preparation being complete, you won't be ready to fulfill and actualize the actual goal at the task at hand. In truth, the whole creation of the world is a preparation for something else. It has one goal, one objective, to make God a dwelling place in this world. And this goal will only be fulfilled by virtue of doing all the things that God wants us to do for this very purpose. So, in terms of the goal and the objective, what's the difference what we do, if it's the preparation or it's the act that comes after the preparation? Every little detail is valid and to which everyone has to be devoted with their entirety of all their faculties, thought, speech, and action. And the same thing is true with thought, speech, and action, and with regard to all the different worlds. The main thing is the action in this world, but because everything else was created, the thought, the speech, the upper spiritual worlds, they were all created to further the goal of making this physical world a dwelling place for God. They too become essential, and they too become significant in their own right. That in them, the infinite power of God will be revealed in the complete, true and complete redemption. According to this, based on this analysis, we will understand that Tzemach Tzedek's instruction to that chassid, make Israel hear. Even though we're anticipating the very moment, we're waiting impatiently to get out of the diaspora, get out of exile, to go into Israel literally. Nevertheless, since God put us here in this stage of exile as a preparation for the complete redemption, we have to do everything, all of our service in the diaspora and in the time of exile in the most perfect way and transforming it into a holy place. And since every Jew essentially is Yisrael, he is Israel, So every Jew has the power to transform the diaspora and exile into a place of holiness and Judaism, into Eretz Yisrael, especially in the synagogues and the houses of study that will actually be transported from here to Israel in the time of the redemption. So the lesson of the Tzemach Tzedek essentially is that even though we're here in exile, we have to do three things. Number one, we have to serve Hashem with total devotion, with perfection and completion. Number two, the objective of our service is that even here in the diaspora, we should create an Eretz Yisrael, a complete and perfect place. And number three, when a Jew conditions himself for the time of redemption, time of perfection, that itself will bring the redemption, which is the time when we will reach the state of perfection. And also when it says that in the future Israel will spread to the whole world, how does that come about? How is that fulfilled? When we transform the diaspora, the exile, into Eretz Yisrael. And where do we get the strength to do this? We get the strength from this Shabbos in particular, the Shabbos in which we bless the month of Menachem Av, because Shabbos underscores the good of the day, and it gives us the power to reveal the good that exists here outside of Israel, and to transform it into Israel, especially considering the fact that this Shabbos is also the Shabbos in which we bless the month of Menachem Av, and the name of the month underscores the good of the month. The word Menachem comes from the word consolation, the consolation of the redemption, and only after that do we say the word Av, especially with living in a generation which is the last generation of exile and the first of redemption, and we already completed everything that we need to do, and we're ready for the feast of the redemption, take from Yad Mamish, imminently and immediately without any delay. Since the Geula did not yet come, and we're still situated in the time and place of exile, it's self-understood that we have to now execute the lesson of the Tzemach Tzedek to make Israel here. Since the previous Rebbe publicized this lesson, that means that this lesson is relevant to every Jew, especially as we're standing in the weeks in which we read in the Torah about the division of the land of Israel, and we're standing ready any moment to go into the land of Israel with a complete redemption. It is certain that every one of us has to make Israel from his place, and to do it with perfection, with thought, speech, and action. Every Jew has a portion and a mission in this world. Everyone has his own purpose and his own specific mission. One Jew may be more engaged in the study of Torah, more in observance of practical mitzvahs. One specializes in giving of tzedakah, another one in the service of prayer. Everyone has his place where he lives as well. In every period, there is a special focus that one has to fulfill that is relevant to that period in which the person lives. So a Jew could think, what would happen if I was in another place in the world or at a different period of history? Maybe I would be a better Jew than I am the way I am today. So a Jew could also think, since everything I am, wherever I am in one corner of the world, what difference does it make how I behave, especially when it doesn't have any effect, this person may think, on the whole world? A Jew could think, how could they demand of me that I should bring the redemption to the whole world when I'm just a small person working in one small corner of the world? To these arguments, the response is, the leader of the generation commanded you to transform here into Israel. It shouldn't interest you what would happen if you were in another place. You should be concerned how, in the place that you are living right now, you do everything you do with complete perfection. And when you do your work in your place and your share of the world, you will influence the whole world, because your share of the whole world has in it the entire world. And even if you're a business person and you're not the gabbai of the shul who's involved with holy matters, in other words, your work is mundane work, nevertheless, when you do your work with completion and you influence your share of the world, you will have an effect on influencing the whole world, because your share has in it all the parts of the land of Israel, in addition to the fact that you could actually literally contribute to the building of a shul. That's why every Jew has the responsibility to bring the redemption to the whole world, because by transforming his own little space into Israel in the most perfect way, he will bring the redemption, the complete redemption, to the whole world.
If so, we have to take this individual day and turn it into a day of redemption, our place into a land of Israel, and to do this perfectly, especially as we're standing so close to redemption. This perfection has to be expressed verbally, like the girl that spoke. We have to speak about this lesson and publicize it with enthusiasm, with life, with excitement. And in simple words, immediately after Shabbos is over, if Chas V'Shalom, if God forbid Mashiach doesn't come until then, we have to publicize in every place the instruction of making Israel here until Mashiach comes and we will be all transported to Israel literally. In addition to that, one of the special instructions that are relevant to the 9 days between Rosh Chodesh of Av until Tisha B'Av is to make siyumim, to conclude the tractates every day, and that is in order to reveal the good, the positive, and the joy that is concealed in these days, even though they're days of mourning, but there is a hidden joy, and we can reveal that through Torah, because Torah are God's commandments which bring joy. And this is also connected to the lesson of making Israel here, because we're transforming even the negatives, and we're revealing the hidden good that exists in them. And may it be the will that by fulfilling these instructions, we should already bring the redemption. We should already go into the redemption with a dance, and we'll go all together dancing to Eretz Yisrael. We'll get our share in the land of Israel that got from God Himself. May that be taken from Yad Mamish immediately. Now, a summary of the synopsis. Our parsha discusses, among other things, the division of the land of Israel, which happened through a lottery. And Rashi says that this lottery, this piece of paper, would actually speak. And the question is, why would God make such a miracle that the lottery itself should speak and announce who won this share of the land and what share he won, which tribe got which share? Why was that important that a miracle should happen that the girl, an inanimate object, should speak? But because God gave a commandment that the girl, the lottery, should be the medium through which the land should be divided, every part of Israel had to go through the Geirah, and every part of it, in other words, the proof that the Geirah was authentic, had to come from the Geirah itself and not from an external source such as Elazar the Kohen, who would tell with his divine inspiration what the results were. In addition, in spite of the fact that we're talking about a very secondary or tertiary thing, it was only a preparation to the division of the land, and vindicating it or proving that it was genuine seems to be a secondary matter in and of itself, yet the Torah teaches us that even secondary matters that seem to be secondary have to be done with completion because they are based on Torah. There's a story of a chassid who asked the Tzemach Tzedek's blessing for journeying to Israel, and the Tzemach Tzedek told him, make Israel here. And this story was publicized by the previous Rebbe, and it's a lesson to every Jew. Even though we're in Chutz La'aretz, and it's a secondary matter to the redemption when we will be transported to Israel, but when we're here, we have to fulfill with completion and perfection, with integrity, transforming the diaspora into the land of Israel. And this is the lesson that every Jew has to take from this parsha and from making here Israel, that every Jew has to know that wherever he is, he has to devote himself to his service in his place, in his share of the world, in his environment, and not to think what would happen if he would be in another place. And since in his share, there is contained within it all parts of the world, in the micro, the Rebbe is saying, there is the macro, therefore, what you do here influences the whole world, and you can bring the redemption to the whole world. And the practical lessons from all of the above of making here Israel, the Rebbe lists 4 things. Number 1, do everything with perfection, even if it's only a secondary matter, preparation for something else. Number 2, to do the service in this place, in this time, in the most perfect way, and to do it with thought, speech, and action. Number 3, to publicize this lesson of making here Israel to every person that you could reach until Mashiach comes. Number 4, in the 9 days, to make siyumim, conclusions of the tractates of the Talmud, in all of these 9 days. Now, in the Psuras HaGeula, the excerpts from the talk that talk about redemption, the Rebbe says the following: all the signs for redemption indicate that we are literally at the redemption. As my sainted father-in-law publicized and declared, we have completed everything necessary for redemption, even the polishing of the buttons. And he said, stand all of you ready. we have already standing ready. That has also been achieved. This means that all is prepared and ready for the banquet, and we are ready to approach the table and partake of the feast of Leviathan and the Shor Habor, because, behold, he, the King Mashiach, is coming imminently. As we stand in such close proximity to redemption, every Jew must accustom himself to this reality. Everyone must internalize a state and feeling of redemption by making his personal day a personal day of redemption and transforming one's private space into the land of Israel. One achieves this by doing, at each moment and in every place, one's service in thought, speech, and action to utter perfection. Also, the result of perfecting one's service in thought, speech, and action must be expressed in one's speech. That is, just as the lots themselves spoke, so too, when one has internalized one's divine service to make Israel hear to the point of penetration of one's very core, one speaks to others about it with enthusiasm. At that point, one will eagerly publicize the directive of make Israel hear to one's family, acquaintances, and certainly to one's students, and ultimately to all those he can reach. Because this message comes from within. One's words are words which come from the heart, which are guaranteed to enter the heart, and will have their intended effect. When one actually becomes a living example of this ideal in his own efforts, he can certainly have the effect on others. This, the Rebbe says, and concludes, is true to such an extent that the listeners themselves become speakers, like the lots themselves began to speak.